Titus chapter 1. Let's continue. Chapter 1, we left off. I'm not sure what verse we left off on, but we're going to pick up at verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to go down to verse 16, hopefully. Since we're dealing with the local assembly, 5 through 16. And what I'm going to do is try to focus on the things that when Paul writes, some of the phrases that stand out that I feel that is important. And if you guys see something that you have a question on, you can always interject in that. So we'll start at verse 5. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we spend in your word. We pray that as we study these things, they may be clear to us as you would have them to be. We pray for each member of your body today, Lord. Strengthen us according to our needs. Help our unbelief as we study these things that pertain to your purpose and plan and how we fit. We pray for the body universal. We pray for those who have the rule and authority over us. And Father, we just thank you for this time again. And just thank you above all things for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we do pray. Amen. Verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And this obviously is Paul's laying down the guidelines for the leaders in the local assembly and the structure, the foundation. You know, in Timothy, he said that the local assembly was the pillar and ground of the truth. And I thought about that on the way over here is, can you imagine that God has entrusted his plan and the progress of it to the local assemblies today? Yes. And so when he ordains the elders, he's putting in place, he's ensuring that we're all on the same page as the local assemblies. That's why he said this. He says that in Timothy, Corinth, when he sent Timothy to Corinth, he said, hold your hand, let's see. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe it's chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter
3.
Okay, that's not the one. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But I noticed the reaction on your face when you think about that. If God has entrusted the progress of his plan to the local assemblies, and then you see how we're not even, how shaky it is. We're not even on the same program. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Tell you what, let's just start at verse 14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Do you think we have 10,000 instructors?
Mm-hmm. At least.
At least, right? 10,000. You know, I got to say this only because it's here. And he says, "For though I have 10,000 instructors in Christ." For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be what? Be followers of me. Remember, when we talked about it, this was a while ago, when we talked about, and I'm only doing this because it'll help you when you read. It'll help you. He says, he could have just said, you have a lot of teachers. But he used the number. Which means
honor.
That's what it means. He says, you might have 10,000 instructors. He said, but you should honor me. Mm-hmm. That's why he says, be followers what? Be followers. I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause, because you might have 10,000 instructors, but they all don't think like me. They all don't care like me. They all don't have the information like me. He says, for this cause, I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful to me. Y'all just gonna let me say that, huh? Who is my beloved son and faithful
in the
Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be what?
Christ.
As I teach everywhere in every church. Is Paul's ways being taught now everywhere in every church?
Almost never and nowhere.
So that's why I was asking. They're not honoring. If they're not honoring him, you know they're not honoring what?
The Lord.
Yeah. That's
if you receive him by sin, you receive me.
Do you see how, if you ever wonder why we have so much confusion, he tells you in every epistle, because they're not honoring me as an apostle, or nor the people that I send.
Can I add something to that from my studies this week?
No. Go ahead.
Well, in the chapter before, when it's talking about the judgment seat, he's talking about building on a particular foundation, and it's the foundation that he lays is a very specific foundation, and most people build upon the foundation in the Gospels.
Right.
So they start with the wrong foundation, and if you're on the wrong foundation, you're not using the right building materials. You're not. It's just like sin is missing the mark. As soon as you start to change that angle, you take it all the way up, you're so far away from the target. And that's why he talked about the pillar in the ground, the truth. He was laying a very specific foundation.
Right.
Very specific doctrine.
And that's why he said, I can send Timothy. I can send Titus. That's why, okay, back to Titus. That's why he sends Titus, and he tells him to set in order the things that are what? It's interesting when he says set in order. It's the same term that he used when he gave Moses information as he was building the tabernacle. When it was all set in order, that is, he's putting the things in place that will allow for the proper function of God's people to carry out God's purpose. The pattern. Thank you.
Same with the Lord gave to David and told him to write down the pattern that he gives to Solomon. And you see all throughout Chronicles on the building of that temple, after the pattern, specific weights of gold for this. It's very, very specific.
Only thing now, we specialize in generalizations.
And
wonder why things don't work
feelings.
Feelings. So, you know, that's what I'm saying about, you can say things, sidetrack. You can say things about the gospel, about things that are in scripture, and because our knowledge is so general, so surface, when you say those things, it's almost like a foreign language to people. I'll give you a quick example before we get back here. I remember a guy, he called me, he says, I want to talk to you about marriage. What do you think about divorce? And see, he's just thinking about the male-female relationship. But this is a preacher, so I'm thinking that his level of information or his level of knowledge is a lot higher. So we're getting right down to the type of it. That is, the man and the woman is just the type of the Lord's relationship with his people. And after a while, I realized that we weren't on the same page. So we had to end that conversation. So, and there's not a whole lot of people that would stay with you when you start talking like that. You know what I'm saying? It's,
yeah.
But but it's there. I mean, that's what it is. It's not so much about you and Jenny as it is about you as a representative of the Lord and her fulfilling her role as a help to you.
Yeah, it goes higher than just.
And the verses bear those things out. But we're going to find out a little bit more about that, hopefully. Now, back to Titus, because I don't want to get too far. He says, for this cause, verse 5, I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. We just found out that Paul has a pattern. His M.O. is to, when he goes to a city, to establish a local assembly in that city, and he puts elders in that city who teach, who will teach what he teaches. And what he teaches, he says that they, his ways are what? In Christ. That means that it's in accordance with what he wants today. When he says in Christ, that's I'm not his own will, not what he thinks ought to be done, not the way we used to do it, not the way the people want to do it. This is what God wants done. This is how he wants to run it. He says, if any man, verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. He starts with the man. We talked about that last week. He starts with the foundational relationship. The man, the wife, family. And then he comes back and focuses on the man. He says, for a bishop, which is just today we call him a pastor. Or bishop is an overseer, a pastor. The elder, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. We just looked in Corinthians. He says that let a man account of us as ministers of God and stewards of the mysteries of Christ. That basically is we're stewards of his doctrine. We're stewards of his plan. And he says, moreover, above all these things, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the thing that he has been entrusted with. Steward, the word for steward is the same word for You know what? It's almost the same word for a dispensation. It's a house ruler. The steward is the house ruler. The ruler of the house. And it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He says, verse 7, he says, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed. Not soon angry. Not given to wine. No striker. Not given to filthy lucre. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. He gives those qualifications. Now that's... where we use that as a checklist. Qualifications. Now we pretty much dismiss those things. And we just turn our resume in and hope that it works. But he gave qualifications as a servant. Verse 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught. You remember earlier I said the truth is slippery. The truth is slippery. When I say a lot of us, when I say bishops or overseers, they let the truth what? They let it slip. He said, if the guy I'm looking for, he says he's holding fast, Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught. That's 2 Timothy 2, where Paul says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same thing that you heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He says, you can't, if you're not holding fast the faithful word, you won't be able to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. There's plenty of people who speak against, even in Paul's day. You know, he's writing to a local assembly. And he says, you get this doctrine, hold it fast, that you may be able to both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that these people are saved?
Yeah.
You think they're saved?
Yeah.
Why?
Just
they could be. Okay. But do you think they're believers? Do you think they're.
Depends on when they.
Look at verse 13. He said, well, look, 12. He says, one of themselves, one of who?
The people.
One of them people, right. Thank you. One of those, right, the circumcision. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be saved.
Yes.
Sound in the faith.
That they may be what?
Sound in the faith.
What does that imply?
That they were in the faith.
They were saved. But they were teaching things that they ought not teach. For what? For money. You know what? We don't believe that. Well, we believe that, but
well, we see today so many churches compromise the truth because it would affect their bottom line. even sure. though they don't necessarily see it that way, that's in essence what they did.
You know what he said in verse 11? He says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. What's in a house? What's in the when you think of this passage, what's in the house?
Never mind.
Family members. The church. Right.
Building blocks.
The building blocks. Subvert means to undermine, to overthrow the whole houses of this.
You just said to subvert and overthrow, and I thought about when Paul writes specifically about the, it's either Hymenaeus and Philetus or whoever it was, that's saying that the resurrection already passed and overthrow the faith of some. It's wrong doctrine.
It's wrong doctrine. What he's telling you right there. They teach things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. He said they're vain talkers and deceivers. How would you know if a guy is a deceiver or if he's teaching vanity when where nothing that's profitable. It's not profitable. It's not edifying. All you have to do, I was looking at this the other day, and you can turn on most any program, and you'll hear what Paul says to Titus and Timothy. You're going to hear fables. He says, they subvert whole houses. In 2 Timothy, just flip back two pages. Well, maybe it's not two pages. Second Timothy 3. Hold on, we'll read it. 2 Timothy 3. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers. Okay, before we get to this, who is he writing to in this passage? Timothy, right? He's writing to Timothy, and this is about believers. He's not talking about unsaved people. Professing believers. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Compare this list with the list that he gave Titus for an overseer, for a bishop. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. What's the power of godliness? Sound doctrine. Don't be scared. That's what he told Titus. He said the acknowledging of this truth is after godliness. That is, it looks like when he said it looks just like they're serving, worshiping and serving God, doesn't it? I saw a lady today. She was walking, had her big Bible on her way to church. Past the little church, it said, Simple Truth Ministries. Everybody's learning. Everybody's learning. Most, we're sincere. We're going in. We want to know. Right? Most people, you can't say they don't want to. They want to know.
To an extent.
And this is the thing is, do they want to know to do what God wants, or do they want to know
validation? Something that satisfies their flesh.
Do they want to know to tap in to that secret that unlocks the blessings? You know, that formula, those seven easy steps to a prosperous life.
Prosperous.
Five things to do to unlock your blessing. Three things every Christian should know.
For your best life now.
See, so they going for that? Are they going for that, or are they going to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth"? Whatever it is.
They're not going in to be served,
right? And he says, verse, having a form of godliness, but denying. You know what sound doctrine does? Sound doctrine takes care of all those qualities that they manifest. Sound doctrine focuses on all those things that he listed in the first, those previous verses. That's what sound doctrine does. It is designed to mortify those deeds. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sounds just like Titus, doesn't it? You know why? Because the same problems exist in any local assembly. The same issue is in any local assembly, wherever you go, because Paul says that when I lay this doctrine down, that's the way I teach in every city. That's what I want, not what I want, that's what the Lord wants done in every city. It doesn't change from city to city or assembly to assembly. It only changes when they deviate from the doctrine. That's why he can say, well, Titus, you go here and set things in order. For this cause, Timothy, you go here. Because they're off track.
Silly women. Not a show. Let me get that on. But it relates back to him saying that the women should keep silent in the churches, right?
Right. You know,
can it also be that the silly women are not holding the head, whether it's the Lord or
they're going back to Adam and Eve?
Say it again.
It's going back to Adam and Eve.
It's going back to the beginning. That's very, very, very good point.
Stepping out of their order.
It's
and you're not ashamed about that. That's just correct.
Okay. All right. Here.
Truth doesn't change.
Here we go. Okay. Remember, I was telling you, it's all. If we're back in the garden here, right? You have a man and a woman, right? He's the head. She's the help. The scripture said that she usurped his authority. Correct?
Yeah.
Over here, here's the false teacher. He creeps into the house. You know, the other day, I got home, and my wife, she said, I want to show you something. And she said, you won't believe what I saw. I said, what? I said, like a mouse? She said, nope. Was that a frog? Nope. She said, a snake. It was in the house. It was a small one. And so naturally, I'm thinking, how did a snake get in the house? So I'm looking all around for some kind of crack or hole. But whatever he did, he what?
Creeped in
somewhere, unawares. But he says that they creep in and they lead captive. Now, we say silly women, which if the local assembly is not functioning properly, what's gonna be missing?
Leadership.
That's why last couple of weeks I told you most assemblies have elderitis. They suffer from a lack of elders. Mm-hmm. So when you go in now, guess what?
Anything goes.
You're up there.
Yeah, women.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, just went to a funeral, my uncle's funeral, and one of the ministers who is at that assembly now, he was at an assembly where the two ladies got married. And one was a bishop.
Oh, come on.
I talked to my cousin 2 days ago, and she said her and her friend, they go so far, then they part ways because her friend is going to school to be a bishop. She wears the collar. She said, the Lord is telling me that this is what he wants me to do. She's going to school, and she's paying for this degree. She's going to school and paying for the degree that says you are a bishop.
That ain't how you get it.
That's not how you get it. Who says so?
That's what the Bible says.
That's what you say.
That's what the verses say.
That don't mean that. That doesn't mean that. That's Paul.
Paul's your apostle.
Ah, see? Those not my ways. That's what Paul said. Wait a minute. Those are that way not be in Christ. The way you getting it. But he says that sort are they that creep in the houses, lead captive. Now, and I have to go with my uncle. He used to say that he was like Johnny. I'm not a chauvinist. So he have to, don't be scared. Throw the word. You know what? Just make sure that what God says it is, you are on board with it. It don't mean you're silly, you don't know anything, or you just silly in the adolescent type of way.
Babe.
Is this. Huh? Get
tricked.
That's why, look, let me find this. Romans 16. You know what? And if you are, let me hold that comment for a minute. Romans 16. And Proverbs. Let's see. Proverbs. Let me look at it first, make sure I'm giving you the right one. Romans 16. Proverbs 14. That's it. Romans 16, Proverbs 14.
Sixteen, seventeen.
Let's see. All right, hold on there. Okay, 16 says, now, 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to what?
The doctrine.
To the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Sound familiar? What is the thing that Paul stresses the most?
The doctrine.
The doctrine. Whose doctrine?
The doctrine that they have learned from him.
Which is called what?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. Which is after what?
Godliness.
It's after Christ. It promotes godliness. They can read this just like we do. He says, avoid them. For, why you avoid them, Paul? For they that are such. What's the such? They that what?
That
teach other doctrine. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, that's fables. That's commandments of men. By good words and fair speeches, deceive, subvert the hearts of the what?
Simple.
Of the simple.
Silly.
Simple. Uneducated. Okay. Now, Proverbs.
He also tickling their ears.
Right. That's whatever they want to hear. Proverbs 14:15. The simple what? Oh, too fast. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth. Oh, come on, y'all. The simple believeth
every word.
But the prudent man looketh well into his going. So what makes, when you talk about silly women, simple, they believe what?
Anything. Or the wrong.
They believe. Like Johnny said, they're easily convinced, easily persuaded. That doesn't mean you're not smart.
Certainly not brown.
That, you know, think about this. That doesn't mean you're not smart. What if, this is hypothetical, this is not, I'm just saying. What if God so fixed it that when it comes to spiritual things, you had to wait on him. And when you don't, you blow it. All right, let me rephrase it. What if God's design was so that the moment you usurped the man's spiritual authority, you set yourself up to be deceived? Okay, one more time. Let's see. What if the minute you took it into your own hands, God says, you get what's coming to you? I said, what if? I said that was hypothetical. I said, what if? So, You see when she stepped out of the submission, right? And she was, Timothy said, Timothy, 1 Timothy. And we're going to get off this. I know y'all don't like this. I know y'all don't like this. That's a joke coming out.
Silly woman.
Shut up.
Now, you know what? Some women have a hard time with this.
Yeah.
Okay, he says this. In chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner, also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works. I'm going to go back and pick that up. Which becometh women professing godliness. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Learn where? Who is he writing to? He's writing to Timothy, who's an overseer. And he's saying, when the church is together, he says, if you see her, this is what she ought to look like. He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why you say that, Paul? You don't like women. He says, he goes right back to what? To the garden. He says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Why was she deceived? She wasn't grounded.
You served the man's authority.
Now, he says, he says, notwithstanding, nevertheless, even though that happened, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, who's they?
The body.
The husband and the wife.
The woman.
Is it they?
They, like he says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. If they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. You know what's gonna, you know what? I keep saying, I was watching Fix My Life yesterday. Huh?
I have no idea what that is.
It was just a show, and there was a mother, daughter. Yeah, I think a mother and three daughters. All right, and they had a son who died, but they were all dysfunctional. She was abused. her daughter was abused, and another daughter was abused by her brother, who was abused. Now, this one looked like she was okay, but that's just what they had from TV. Now, I'm saying that consistent. Nevertheless, she said, you know what? I can't even deal with a man. She said, I can't trust him. She says, I don't know, even know how to open up. I don't even know how to begin, how to fix this. This one says, well, I just like women. I just gave it up. I like women. I'm bisexual, but I like women more than men. This one, he was abused by a man and learned abuse, so he passed it on. He learned how to abuse, and he what? Passed it on. Paul said this, nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if she'll be saved from that. See, when you usurp, it's going down. Mm-hmm. It's going downhill because it's against God's design. Old man told me this. He said, if a man can't rule his house, he'll wreck it.
True.
It is true.
And that's part of what Paul lays out. If you're going to be an overseer, you've got to be able to rule your home.
If he can't rule it, he'll wreck it. You know, Proverbs says it's better to dwell on the housetop than with a contentious
woman.
He said, nevertheless, they shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in what? So, she says, look, daughter, mother says, look, daughter, don't do this. Because it ain't going to do nothing but tear your house up. And you say, well, Mama, he can't talk to me like that. And she says, you say, right? You have to do this as to the Lord. And the Lord take care of him. That's why I tell you, you don't just go out there and get anybody.
So and then the try to... Is she and the child she bears?
The children, right. We're assuming they're women, that they're girls. And don't you think they would? Wouldn't that right the ship? If you had a daughter who was a helpmeet, you brought her up to be a helpmeet. All right, Titus.
So the salvation is obviously not eternal salvation.
Right.
It's functional.
Because he's already writing to save people.
Functional salvation.
Right. It's functional. In your role as a woman. See, okay. Hold your hand there. Two things. Yes.
The only problem I see with all this.
Yes.
Is like, for example, me and Lane. I can only teach Lane what I know.
Right.
And then even with the vocabulary you use is continue. You only continue doing something that you were doing. But she wouldn't know to teach her daughters those things because she didn't know those things. And we're assuming that they know these things and then they turn away from them. But what if they never knew them? How could she teach her daughter something she doesn't know?
Okay, keep that in mind. But now the scripture did say, nevertheless, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue. What if they don't continue? What happens? It falls apart eventually. They, you know, if they don't continue, Paul said this. He says, take heed to the doctrine and continue in them. For in doing so,
you shall save
what?
Both myself
and them that hear thee. If you don't hear it, it's a guarantee that you're going to fall into ruin. Now, you say, well, how do they know? Now, in the beginning, she did know, but she didn't heed it, right? The doctrine, which was...
She got captivated by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride.
She was deceived. Somebody creeped into the house with a different doctrine. Sounded good. Made me feel like I had some power to make some big decisions, and I did.
Contrary.
You got to just and say he's a leader.
Me too.
So am I.
Really, it's just going out of order of what God intended.
It's what God. It's no different than you making your own decision.
Right.
Without God.
And that plan didn't work with the woman if the man is not following the right doctrine.
No.
Or a believer.
Or a believer.
Yeah.
That's okay. I said Titus and Peter. First Peter.
Where do we have first?
Let's go to First Peter. Verse 3, chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, follow me up with a question if you, Sarah, if you're not, if you still got a question. Verse 3, chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, which is in the sight of God, of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, usurped the authority of their husbands. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. They what?
Adorned themselves
being what? Unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you what?
Do well.
What if you don't do well? I'm just using this as a principle. If you don't do well, whose daughters are you? You remember where they said Abraham's our father? And the Lord says, no.
You're your father.
Because
yep.
if Abraham was your father, you would do what?
You would fight for me.
You would believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, well, Sarah's my mother. Or later say, Sarah's my mother. If Sarah was your mother, then you'd act like what?
Sarah.
You'd act like Sarah. You'd act like Sarah acted. And in this case, Sarah acted what?
Is she subjected
okay.
to the
Lord? Okay. Now, Likewise, you husbands, then he goes on, dwell with them. Oh, I'm sorry, let me finish this up. As long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. That is, if he's not forcing you to obey. You know, some women are forced to obey. It's called abuse. But if you're doing it willingly as unto the Lord, he says that's well. And God considers that a great price, of great price. Okay, Titus 2. Is that good? Is that okay? Titus 2. And we're not there, but we're going to be there today. He says, Titus chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That is, speak the things that it fits sound doctrine. What's that, Paul? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the what? The young women to what? Be independent. To be what? To be sober, to challenge their husbands, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then he goes on to the young men also, and then the servants. Now, back to what the question was, is if they shall be saved, that's why, you know, God's not talking to every woman. He's talking to believers. He says, if you don't know this, you need to know this so you can pass it on to your daughter. If you don't know this and you pass, what you... There are many vain talkers. He said, if you don't know the doctrine, what do you think you're passing on to your daughter?
Your own thoughts, your own opinions, your own
life. That happened before. You know what? You don't have to listen to him or him. You got a mind of your own. See, the thing is he got the doctrine and he entrusted him with it, and then he gave it to you. Which then they give it to them, right? To the children. And then the thing goes on. That's the local assembly right there. That's why he says, okay, you get it right, and then they get it right, and when y'all come in to the building, everybody's right. Right? So what we have to go back and find out is, what's my role? What's my role? What did God say the role is? Not what the world. We already know that the world is not teaching his ways, which be in Christ. We know that. And the problem we have is this. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I don't even want to know that doctrine. And these are people that, now we go to your verse, 2 Timothy. And we're going to stop here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what?
Fables.
That's the stories we hear now, is how to prosper in Christ.
It can also be like the pearl of great price, you know, the subsequent narratives that the other religions put in there, put out there, or like the Zohar, the Judaism, or all that stuff.
I see the cleaning bottle. So, and we didn't get too far, but this is still dealing with the local assembly, and it's dealing with the roles of the people in the local assembly, which is still dealing with the doctrine that God wants us to embrace. And this is foundational. This is basic things before God even puts you to work. He wants to make sure that you're subject to the doctrine. And you can't be subject to the doctrine unless you believe it.
If not following it.
If not following
it.
Listen. We'll pick it up next week.
It's the whole blueprint for worship and serve.
It is. Listen.
Foundation.
Right. See, think about this. And I'm just saying this because this is simple. This is as low as I can get to it. Is I was just thinking of my friends that I know. How many know this doctrine? Couples, preachers that's been divorced. And I think about it, and we shouldn't be shocked, because all it takes, what does it take? What does it take for two believers in the doctrine that's according to godliness? What does it take for two believers that believe the doctrine according to godliness to split up if they married? What does it take? All right, let me say it this way. You believe the doctrine as according to godliness, right? Blake, you believe the doctrine as according to godliness, right?
Stepping outside of the doctrine.
So when you get out of the godliness box, what are you in?
You're in your flesh.
And if you make those decisions in the flesh, mm-hmm. What happens? Anything.
You're out of God's view. You're not.
You cheat on me, I cut you, I'm in prison, it's just down here.
Think about it. So, but it's, you know what? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. So, next week, back into one, down to two. So, let's stop there. Have prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would work in our hearts and minds the thing that you would have us to meditate on for this week, for this day. And we just pray that the fruit would abound to your account, to your glory. And we just thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen.